Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Chase, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, the game in the game Nashville app. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, Caroline Fenton, in for Chase McCabe. D-Maze hanging out with you. We are live from Pete and Terry's Tavern ahead of the Predators game tonight. D-Maze, how we doing?
Hey, we're doing well this morning. Little rain. It's a lot warmer than it was yesterday. So
it's still cold. I'm still not built for this.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I don't blame you.
Nick Kieser with us behind the glass, and Willie Donick will join us later on in the show. But I want to start with this, because I don't want it to be ignored how dominant and how just freaking good the Titans defense was on Sunday. In fact, the Titans defense, I believe, single-handedly won them that game. You could point to the defense and two really solid touchdown passes from Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And I think the most impressive part about it is that this wasn't just a one-off, that the defense has been doing this all season long, and also the fact that this Titans defense got six sacks on Sunday, which is impressive nonetheless. And then when you look at the list of players who recorded sacks, it wasn't Jeffrey Simmons, and it wasn't Bud Dupree, because Jeffrey Simmons and Bud Dupree were out on Sunday. This Titans defense got six sacks against the Broncos without Jeffrey Simmons, without Bud Dupree. And also, yeah, let's not forget that Harold Landry was out as well and has been out all season long. And this defensive line has still been dominating in all of the games that the Titans have played, except for probably the Bills. But I look at Dylan Cole and Mario Edwards, Rashad Weaver, and Naquan Jones. Guys that, I mean, for the most part, did Titans fans even really know who Mario Edwards was this time a few weeks ago?
I'm sure they didn't, because I didn't.
Because I didn't. But that's my question is, that the Titans got Mario Edwards off of the Jags practice squad. If Mario Edwards isn't good enough to start on the Jags, and then he comes into Tennessee and is a complete disruptive force against the Broncos. And really last week, too. He had a pretty solid game the week before also. So my question is, I want to acknowledge the defense. And I don't want to undermine what the defense did on Sunday. But I want to look at the offense. Because I look at Mario Edwards. I look at Dylan Cole. Players who, if they were on the Titans practice squad, I'm not sure how many teams would be jumping at the bit to get them. So how can the Titans get a Mario Edwards off of the Jags practice squad, and he can look like Von Miller out there, yet the Titans offense can't do the same thing?
You know, that's the, I don't know, million-dollar question. Why is it that they can, you know, for some reason, from a defensive standpoint, put all of the pieces in place, regardless of who's playing? It seems like they just plug and replace. Not to say that the guys that they're plugging in are better than the guys they're replacing, but the standard of play doesn't dip much. This is an aggressive defense. But defense is totally different from offense. I've always said, listen, you can have, you know, 10 guys doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and then an 11th guy on defense does something completely, totally different, and it can end up being a sack, forced fumble, interception. On offense, it typically doesn't work that way.
Right.
When you have one guy that messed up, especially along that interior line of scrimmage, it's either a sack, the quarterback scrambling for his life, interception, strip fumble, something like that. So defense operates totally different from how the offense operates. And, you know, it's with the defense, it's just play your assignment and go get the ball. Offense is, I got to do my assignment.
It's more complex.
I got to catch the ball. I got to do this just so this guy can do this. So it's a lot. I'm not diminishing what the defense, as far as their scheme and how complex it may be, because there are a lot of defenses out there. But, you know, you feel someone always has your back on defense. On offense, it doesn't, especially when you're talking about skill guys, nobody has your back. It's either you're doing a job or you're not doing a job. But for some reason, and I've seen this with defensive coaches, you know, you put a defensive head coach in, you know, as the helm, and typically the defense gets better. The offense sometimes sort of lacks behind.
Mm-hmm.
I've been several situations like that where it's more of a defensive-minded team, and the offense sort of suffers in a sense. But for this team, I don't understand how they can't go out and get guys from an offensive standpoint. Mm-hmm. They can come in here and at least, you know, do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Defense, they just have, for whatever reason, they have it. And Mike Vrabel and Shane Bowen has those guys playing.
I mean, that's the anomaly to me, is that the defense can be without Jeffrey Simmons, can be without Bud Dupree, can be without Christian Fulton, Imani Hooker, Harold Landry, so on and so forth. And they still limit the Broncos to 10 points. And I know that the Broncos do not have a very good offense. I understand that. And that's been plaguing them all season long. But still, any time that you're able to limit an NFL team to 10 points, that's a really impressive feat by the defense, that they did it with a bunch of practice squad players, mm-hmm. and with a bunch of backups. Yet on the offensive side of the ball, and this isn't something that's been, you know, just a small sample size with the Titans. It's something that we've seen all season long, and I could even go back to last season as well. Just the sheer number of injuries that was plaguing the Titans last year and this year as well, offensively. And they try and get these guys in here that are just simply just bodies, like a Chris Conley, for example, who comes in and isn't able to make those game-changing, game-wrecking plays mm-hmm. like Mario Edwards or Dylan Cole has been able to do so far this season. I understand that defense and offense are two very different things. I understand that Mike Vrabel is a defensive-minded head coach, but this defense didn't look this good 2 years ago in 2020 when mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel was still a defensive-minded head coach. So I don't know if it's player acquisition, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's coaching, and I don't know if it's scheme, but I just find it very peculiar that they can bring in anybody off the street, mm-hmm. and I know that's an exaggeration, yeah. but they can bring in anybody off the street defensively and still limit Denver to 10 points, and they can still sack Russell Wilson mm-hmm. 6 times, yet they can't bring in anybody offensively, not even their first-round pick in Treylon Burks that's mm-hmm. able to be a game wrecker or a game disruptor. And I don't know how you can hit on random defensive players so frequently and they are able to contribute to this team and you are missing on offensive players so frequently. There's got to be a disconnect there that I think is beyond just player evaluation.
Listen, if I knew that answer, man, I would run and tell the Tennessee Titans. But, mm-hmm. you know, I just don't understand. And some of it could be, I think, Shane Bowen. When Downey came out and this is what I didn't like, mm-hmm. and this is why I said I don't think this guy's offensive coordinator. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
His demeanor and everything. When he came out and he sort of caved in a sense, regardless of how you felt about that play as a whether it's me, you, mm-hmm. Willie, Jared, Chase, the fans, it doesn't matter. However we feel about those plays, you got to stand behind them
mm-hmm.
as offensive coordinator. Because you know that if this one thing or two things happen, the play turns out much differently. But he caved in. He has no spine. I've said that. And to me, when you get up there and you say, well, yeah, it was, you know, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have made that call. No, stand behind your call, because I guarantee you when you went back and you looked at that film, you saw that one guy that because I've said this about offense.
Mm.
One guy can mess up, and it destroys the whole play.
Right.
Defensively, it
but
doesn't
But he's not going to call that one player out.
He's not going to call it out. But you don't second guess a play that should have worked. You just say, hey, listen, you don't have to call people out. You just mm-hmm. say, we didn't execute the play the way it needed to be executed.
Right.
That's all you got to say. You don't have to throw Taylor up under the bus. You don't have to throw Ben up under the bus. Not to say that Ben did anything wrong. You don't have to throw the quarterback under the bus. You don't
right.
have to throw Chig under the bus. You just say, we did not execute the play the way it was designed. Had we executed the play, then there's a possibility we would have gotten the first down. But still, you caved in from the pressure around you. You know, media people getting down on you, and you broke. I can't have a coach. You never see Vrabel breaking. Never. It doesn't matter. Vrabel sticks to the script. He stick to it. Listen, this is my team. Mm-hmm. This is how I coach my team. He sticks to the script. If guys didn't do what they were supposed to do, he'll say, listen, we just didn't execute the way we were supposed to execute. He just don't say, well, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. You know, that was a bad. No, that was a good play. You know it was a good play. But you allow the outside forces to pressure you into saying, yeah, man, I shouldn't have made that call. Yeah, you're right. No, it was a damn good call. So from that point on, I knew this guy, he's not the offensive coordinator this team need. With this type of mentality and personality mm-hmm. that this team have, they don't back down.
Yeah.
They don't apologize.
That's
they go
the
out
identity
and they get,
of
yeah,
this team. It's
they
tough.
Go out and they get the job done. And if we don't get it done because we didn't execute, I'm not second-guessing what I'm doing as a head coach, you know, because I've been in this long enough. Now, I can go back and say, hey, listen, you know, maybe we need to run that a little bit different. But I've ran this play before more times than not, and it's worked. Okay, if we just execute it the way it's supposed to be, then a play more than likely is going to work. But when you cave in because everybody else is pointing fingers at you, I don't want you as my OC. I need somebody that's going to step up and be the makeup of this team. Downey's not the makeup of this team. He's just not.
And I mean, beyond just plays that do and don't work, because I look at, I tweeted this out after the game that I feel like Todd Downing has this list of creative or funky out of the box plays that he feels the need to call in the middle of the game, and he'll call them even if they don't make sense. And then he just feels like he needs to check one box, or that he has a list of receivers and he says, okay, I need to get the ball to each of these receivers, even if it's Jeff Swaim who drops the ball. Well, we need to target Jeff Swaim, so I'll be able to check a box. And I feel like Todd Downing has these boxes that he feels the need to check rather than going with the flow of the game. Mm-hmm. And I understand people saying, and even Willie said, well, what about the flea flicker? Okay, yeah, that's true. The flea flicker was a good call, mm-hmm. and it worked. Mm-hmm. And it was a good throw by Ryan Tannehill, and it was a good catch by Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. But I'm not going to let one good creative play call that worked and won the Titans the game erase every other questionable play call that Todd Downing has called. And it goes beyond even just, you know, creative or out-of-the-box plays. You know, it goes beyond a Chigakonkwo jet sweep, which doesn't make any sense. And it goes into just play calling throughout the game. When, you know, when Derrick Henry is running the ball effectively and then you choose a pass play at 3rd-and-2, I don't understand that. Whenever Ryan Tannehill has had issues and struggled throwing the ball all game long. So it goes beyond just the creative play calls. And it goes beyond just, you know, what worked and what didn't. Because if the flea flicker didn't work, then it'd be criticized. Then I would just go on top of all of the creative play calls that Todd Downing has tried to call, and they just don't work. So I think it goes beyond just the creative plays, and it goes beyond just the play calling, and it goes into not having a good feel for the game. And I do wonder if that comes to fruition in with the offense as a whole and not getting the most out of the personnel that they have offensively.
Well, I mean, there's a whole bunch to unpack there because, you know, we've seen enough of this, and I think this is why so many people are frustrated, Caroline. Because it's not just this year. Mm-hmm. It goes back to last year. And everybody said, well, they're missing AJ this year. I understand they're missing AJ this year. But they had AJ last year. Mm-hmm. And this offense still was inept at times. You know, so it's not just, you know.
I do wonder how much of that was a Tannehill thing last year, though.
Well, even with that, this offense didn't flow consistently the way we thought they should have, considering the personnel they had. You know, mm-hmm. it just didn't flow. There still was hiccups in the offense. It still seemed like he was figuring things out. Well, a year later, still seemed like he's trying to figure things out. You look at Shane Bowen, that first year, everybody called for his head. That second year, what happened? That defense turned around tremendously.
Defense.
Exactly. And that's what I expected Downey to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I get it. I know he doesn't have, you know, A.J. Brown. Okay? I know he has an offensive line that is sort of that hadn't been playing well. But you got to be able to generate some type of consistency. That's all you have. I'm not asking you to average 28 points a game. Just be consistent in your offense. Mm-hmm. Be consistent in what you do. And this team hadn't been consistent.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your calls, your texts, your reaction to that. Plus also, Who can we put the blame on for some of the offensive woes that have been facing the Titans so far this season? We'll get into that coming up next. Chase Willie, D. Mays, Caroline Fenton in for Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Fenton in for Chase McCabe, breaking down how in the world can this Titans defense be without its biggest playmakers? And Jeffrey Simmons and Bud Dupree and Imani Hooker and Christian Fulton and still limit the Denver Broncos to 10 points. But also the real anomaly here being the fact that the Titans offense can be at nearly full strength with Treylon Burks back out there and healthy, Ryan Tannehill back out under center. And the Titans offense is still struggling even when they get those playmakers back. So my question is, who is to blame for the Titans offensive woes? And I think we touched a bit on Todd Downing. And I think that he is a fair person to look to and to point to and say, well, why can't this Titans offense look like it did in 2020? I understand there is no A.J. Brown. But when you got Ryan Tannehill and you got Derrick Henry and the wide receiver core, I understand, is not at the strength that it was in 2020. But also, that's not on Todd Downing. That's a John Robinson thing. So is the Titans offense a product of Todd Downing and bad play calls? Or is it more of a product of John Robinson and the fact that Todd Downing just doesn't have anybody to work with? I think it's a little bit of both.
I think it's all of it. You can say the person. Here's the thing. I don't think Todd Downing is experienced enough from a play calling standpoint, not from a coaching standpoint, because obviously he's been a coach for a bit, but from a play calling standpoint, I don't think he's experienced enough to take a subpar offensive personnel and make them better than what they are. I just don't. It's evident. You know, we point at the personnel on offense and we're right. They have maybe two or three playmakers. But because he doesn't have that experience at play calling, he can't elevate the personnel that they have. Mm-hmm. Now, if you get a seasoned play caller in here, maybe he's probably been through this before where the personnel was inept. Or they didn't have the depth that they needed on offense. But he was able to design some things and manufacture some things to get yardage. Well, Downey isn't there. Just like I've said about the players, like, I'm not saying you're not good enough to play on this. I'm not saying you're not good enough to play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You're just not good enough to play for this team. You know, I don't know if you're good enough to play in the NFL. You're probably young. You just need to learn.
Right.
But you're not good enough yet to play on this team. Well, Downey, I believe, is the same way. I think he's good enough to be a coach. I'm not saying that. I'm not questioning whether he should be out of the league. I don't think he should be.
Right.
But he's just not good enough for this team, where this team is at with the personnel that this team has. I think they need a more experienced and more seasoned play caller with this personnel. Now, if he had, you know, Devontae Smith,
AJ Brown,
and Chigakonkwa at tight end, Derrick Henry at running back, Woods as your third receiver. Okay, he can call that because you got playmakers littered everywhere.
But then I also look at the Raiders, for example, and they've got talent all over that offense.
Well, Josh
so
is just
why
not,
have they won two games?
Yeah, Josh is just I don't understand that. That is just like, it's mind blowing that you have that talent on that team and you're not able to consistently get that talent to go. You got a quarterback, you got a receiver, you got a running back, you got a tight end.
One of the best tight ends
exactly.
in the
what
league.
What more do you need? So when you have to control a game and no one's sort of looking over your shoulder saying, you know what, maybe we shouldn't run that play. Like Bill Belichick, and I want to run that play. Yeah, you could. I know. Right now, I want to play something.
He doesn't have his babysitter Bill anymore.
Absolutely, and I just think Downing. Again, I'm not saying he's not good enough to be a coach in this league because I'm not qualified to say he can't be in this league. I think he's a good coach. It's just for this team where they're at. I don't think he's the right coach for this team. You know, just like I believe Vrabel's the right coach for this team at this time, considering that makeup. Vrabel's the perfect coach. Well, Downey's not that coach. He's not even a makeup of Mike Vrabel. It's not. It seemed like he's totally opposite of that.
Well, and I've plenty of my own issues with Todd Downing. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are a few games so far this season where I looked to Todd Downing and I said, look, you didn't do anything to hurt this team. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like for the most part so far this season, Tannehill's been playing Tannehill ball. You know, the 250 passing yards a game, mm-hmm. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. I feel like that is where Tannehill needs to live. He's not going to be a 35 passing attempts, 450 mm-hmm. passing yard kind of guy. That's just not who Ryan, he's not Patrick Mahomes.
No.
He's not Joe Burrow. That's not who they need him to be. But, I mean, as many issues as I have with Todd Downing and as many questions as I have for him throughout the game, like, what are you thinking? Mm-hmm. That makes no sense within the context of the game. I can't help but put a majority of the blame on John Robinson, because I don't think it's a coincidence that in 2020 the Titans had one of the best offenses in the league, one of the worst mm-hmm. defenses in the league, and then John Robinson takes offensive pieces, trades them away to build up the defense. And I would say that's a net positive. You know, mm-hmm. you trade away Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith, and in return, you get DeNico Autry and Bud Dupree. Well, that it absolutely elevated the defense. And then the offense took a step back. Mm-hmm. And what did they do to improve the offense in the offseason? Traded away arguably their best player offensively in A.J. Brown mm-hmm. and did nothing to help the offensive line except draft Nicholas Petit-Frere in the third round. So I look to John Robinson and I say, look, you did what you needed to do to build up the defense. But the offense has been ignored, essentially. So I don't think that that's a coincidence that now all of a sudden the Titans offense is struggling mightily because they haven't had any player in to replace the pieces that, one, they were lacking mm-hmm. or two, pieces that they traded away.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that's why I said there's enough blame to go around to everyone. You know, because we can start at the bottom or the top, however you want to start this. You know, if you want to start at the bottom, the players, you know, as a whole, this personnel is not not good enough.
Which goes back to the GM.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can say, well, the coach, is he coaching them up the way they need to be coached? And then the play caller, is he calling the right plays for his players mm-hmm. to allow them to succeed? And then you say, well, the GM, this is what the GM is giving me. You know, I got to work with what I'm given. So there's enough blame to go around for everybody. But the fact remains, this is the team they got. And if it doesn't get any better moving forward with this offense, I feel for the defense, because they play, what, almost 100 plays against Kansas City?
41 minutes.
They're going to have to play a lot more. As if they have to play a lot more as the season winds down, mm-hmm. you look at this injury report now, it's going to be even longer come toward the end of the season. So to me, this offense, just they got to find a way to pick it up. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they do that, because they haven't done it in a year and a half, but they have to somehow, some way.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. I see your phones lining up. We'll get to those coming up next. And hey, Preds Game Day is brought to you by Social Furniture, Nashville's locally owned furniture store, a huge in-stock inventory, and now for a limited time during their Black Friday sale, take an extra 20% off at Social Furniture in West Nashville. 1025-1063, the game. Chase, Willie, D-Maze. D-Maze, phones are lining up. The people have spoken. Unless you have a thought.
Hey, let's go.
Let's go with them. To the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Antonio's up next on the Titans defense.
Hey, y'all. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, what's up, D. Mason? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well this morning. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, man. First and foremost, I appreciate y'all taking my call, and I do want to let you know, man, hey, you are my favorite Titan of all time.
Thank you.
I remember the first year when you came in, and man, you just balled. I mean, you was a dog. But, okay, let's get to what's going on. I don't know what's the reason, what's wrong with the offense. I don't. When my theory is, like, okay, we did regress from 2020. But my thing is, it's like, you got Derrick Henry back there. And you know what I mean. But it's like having Shaq in the middle. You like, we got Derrick Henry back there. And I don't know if the blame is on the players or the person or the coaches. Somebody has to step up and realize that, hey, they're loading the box. It's time for me to ball out. It's time for me to take the pressure off of Derrick Henry or take the pressure off the offense. But I don't know who to blame. I mean, Todd Downing, this offense, man, it makes my stomach curl, man.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Antonio. And I don't think he is alone in that.
Yeah.
And I understand the sentiment of, well, as long as you got 22 in the backfield, then you're good, you're set. And I would agree to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. Because I think we saw it on Sunday. I mean, the Broncos weren't going to let Derrick Henry beat them.
No.
And I can only assume that that's going to happen even more in the future. And I think that's been the game plan against, you know, Titans opponents in the past, is we're not going to let Derrick Henry beat us, and Derrick Henry beats them anyways.
Exactly.
But the Broncos defense is good enough that they said, we're not going to let Derrick Henry beat us. And if these, you know, these receivers that the Titans have, and if Tannehill with a bum ankle beats us, then so be it. And that was the case. And so, I mean, I understand when you got 22, you feel a whole heck of a lot better than if you don't. But teams that play the Titans are going to stack the box. They're going to limit what Derrick Henry can do. You cannot just run the ball with Derrick Henry on every single play. You cannot run the ball with Derrick Henry on every single down. And you say, yeah, I mean, the offense has taken a step back since 2020, and there are a few key components there. You know, you traded away Corey Davis and Johnny Smith, which I think was probably a good move considering what you got in return. You don't have Arthur Smith, so that's on Todd Downing. And then you traded away A.J. Brown, and you haven't been able to replace A.J. Brown. And whether Treylon Burks will be able to grow into that or not, he hasn't been able to do that yet. So the offense is struggling mightily without having a certified weapon in the passing game and with whoever's calling the plays.
Well, it's not even necessarily, you know, replacing A.J. Brown or replacing, you know, Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith. It's not necessarily about, okay, we got to replace them and get the same production. When you replace players of that caliber for this team, you know, you got to be able to insert somebody that's at least going to get the job done consistently. Mm-hmm. Listen, whoever they brought in, whether they draft Treylon Burks, they bring in Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, none of them are better than A.J. Brown at this particular point in his career. Mm-hmm. None of them are. Treylon might. He has the potential. We've seen it. But right now, at this point in time, nobody on this team is A.J. Brown.
Right.
So if
the three of them combined aren't
A.J. Brown. Yeah, if you look at their numbers. But I got to get some type of production out of them. You may not be A.J. Brown, but I need to get production and consistency out of you. I need to get something out of you. I'm paying you enough money to get something. When I brought you in, I expected this is what I should get. And they're just not getting it from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine had a great game last game. But where has he been? As much as I like him, where has he been all season? Robert Woods had a really good game 7 games ago. But where has he been?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you brought him in here for the money you gave him. You brought him in here to catch passes and to get open. And he hasn't gotten open consistently. Has he gotten opportunities? I don't know. You know, I'm not looking. Is the guy open or is he not? That's just basically what I look at. And then when they throw you the ball, do you catch it? Robert Woods has dropped
a lot of balls.
A lot of balls. And as much as I've watched him over his career, I don't think he's dropped balls like this. He was like sure-handed. Mm-hmm. You know, he was one of those guys that was sure-handed. They just hadn't gotten any production consistently from anybody. I didn't expect when they traded away A.J. Brown for them to get A.J. Brown production back.
But you think they expected that?
No, they didn't. They didn't expect that.
Then why trade away A.J. Brown?
Because they couldn't pay him. I'm not going to say they couldn't pay him. They probably just didn't want to pay him. And then they got tired of his antics. You know, the Titans are not about all that other, you know, outside stuff. It's about team and team only. And when you start giving us this other stuff that just doesn't make any sense, that's counterproductive to what we're trying to do, then we need to get rid of you. As much as we like you, as much as I like you as a head coach, we got to get rid of you because we don't want that to infiltrate and infest and sort of come in and sort of spill over everybody.
Kind of manifest throughout the entire locker room.
We don't want that. We got to get rid of you.
And I agree that AJ's social media antics were just as annoying to me as they probably were to anybody else.
And they're still annoying a lot of people.
Still annoying. I mean, he still can't get off Twitter. And it is amazing to me just how much trouble AJ Brown seems to get himself in on Twitter. But in my opinion, for how integral AJ Brown was to this offense, mm-hmm. not just last year, but, you know, since he's gotten here.
Yeah.
I mean, I can deal with the Twitter. If you go out and you ball out like you've been balling out in Philadelphia, if he did that here, I can deal with the Twitter. I think the Titans would have been willing to pay him. Maybe not the $26 million or whatever he's getting guaranteed, $16 million, whatever it is that he's getting from the Eagles. He probably wouldn't have gotten that. Mm-hmm. But I can only imagine that there would have been a number in mind. And I believe TD reported that AJ would have taken 22.
Well,
the Titans would have been able to give 22, would have been willing to offer 22.
But they're not going to offer 22 to a guy that is on and off the field, a guy that is, you know, we're in negotiations and, you know, all this stuff starts to filter out that he's putting out. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have to deal with that. We understand you are a damn good player. We get it. But this is about team. And we can't allow you to overshadow the team. You know, again, if he had played every game up until his last day with the Tennessee Titans, or up until that point where they were getting ready to trade him or thinking about trading him, mm-hmm. I'm sure they would have thought, well, maybe he's been reliable. He's our best pass catcher. Hell, he's one of our top three players. Let's keep him. But because we talked about this with AJ, he was – off the field just as much as he was on the field.
Yeah.
You know, he was injured just as much as he was playing. So why am I going to give somebody $25 or $22 million that this trend may continue?
Which is why I was in favor of the trade at the time. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, AJ is injured, and AJ is always on social media, and AJ wants a certain number mm-hmm. contractually that might be a little bit out of what the Titans were willing to give. So I thought, okay, great. You're going to trade away an injured player, and you're going to get a younger, healthier, and less expensive AJ Brown. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought the Titans were getting, and I can only assume that's what they thought that they were getting too. Rid themselves of the AJ drama, get healthier, mm-hmm. and get cheaper. But the problem is they didn't do that.
They knew that, okay, we bring in Robert Woods. Is Robert Woods a number one? No, he's a number two. We draft Treylon Burks. Is he going to start off like A.J. Brown started off? Well, maybe, maybe not. But we know through time he will get better. We believe that he will get better and he will be that receiver mm-hmm. that we need. Well, it just hadn't happened that way. I think it was almost, you know, we hope that he comes in and give us 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, 80 catches.
Oh, I would take that in a heartbeat.
But we know more than likely that's not going to happen. So we're not going to put that pressure on him to be A.J. Brown. Just come in here alone in offense and be the playmaker we believe you are.
But he hasn't even been able to do that.
He hadn't been able to stay on the field. And he hadn't been – and even when he was on the field, they didn't target him enough. Again, I go back to this. If you drafted this guy, that's like bringing in a free agent. You bring in a free agent wide receiver that you pay a lot of money. Say, just like the Eagles with A.J. Brown mm-hmm. or Davante Adams. You bring in a guy, you paying him $20-something million. What do you think I'm doing every game as offensive coordinator? I'm designing my plays.
Scheming to get him open.
For that guy. Yeah, because this is the guy we brought in to be our big play guy. All right. Well, why didn't you do that with Treylon Burks? You got to give him opportunities. I understand slowly bringing him along, but the NFL is totally different now. These kids are coming in, and they are balling. These first-round wide receivers, mm-hmm. they're coming in, and they're balling out. Just look at them. For the last 5 years, look at the first round. They've been balling out. Mm-hmm. Why don't you take that same approach? Give him an opportunity. Y'all wasn't giving him opportunities. Even in preseason, I'm like, why aren't y'all getting – and the question was asked of Mike Vrabel, where we're not going to do that with just one player. Why the hell not?
Why? Who
he didn't say we're
got?
Not going to do that specifically, but I'm just paraphrasing. But if you listen to that interview, it was basically like going to go out of our way to design plays for one guy.
Why?
Exactly.
Your first round. You just traded away arguably your best offensive player and
I want to see what I got.
That guy instead.
I want to see what I got.
Yeah, and that's why I go back to, okay, who is to blame for the offense as a whole? And I really can just specify in the passing game. Because you could blame John Robinson for trading away A.J. Brown and bringing in Treylon Burks, who hasn't been able to fill in that role. Or is that on Todd Downing? For not taking full advantage of Treylon Burks and not being able to scheme for him and get the ball into his hands whenever Treylon Burks is on the field. And we go back and forth with, is it John Robinson? Is it Todd Downing? And overall, it's both of them. They're both the reason why this Titans offense has been short of expectations, to say the least. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls and your texts. But coming up next, D-Mace is very anti one certain Titans pass catcher. And I want to get to the root of why. We'll get into that coming up next. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. We'll get into your calls, your text phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But first of all, D-Mace, I would like to address something that you and Chris Sanders, Crazy Uncle Chris, seem to be very, very against. And that is getting the ball to Austin Hooper. That is what my thing with Austin Hooper is. Going into the season, I remember very vividly, I believe it was the month of July or August, and we had all of these texts coming in about how Titans fans were expecting 5 to 550 yards from Austin Hooper this season, which I thought was just absolutely ridiculous. That's not going to happen. 550 yards from Austin Hooper and 1,000 from Treylon Burks was the general consensus from Titans fans, which now, looking back, seems off. But you and Chris Sanders both are very anti-Austin Hooper. And my thing with Austin Hooper is this. No, he's not Travis Kelce. No, he is not George Kittle. No, he is not Darren Waller. But I think that Titans fans, at least as Titans offense, has been so starved for an actual legitimate starting tight end. That's not Anthony Firkser or Jeff freaking Swaim, who drops the ball when it hits his hands. Why so anti-Austin Hooper?
Okay, here's the deal. Jeff Swaim has only been targeted 10 times. You know what? He's caught 7 out of 10 passes for one touchdown.
Okay, but also now,
that wasn't to sort of debunk what you said. It wasn't, but I just want to show you like the contrast between he and the tight ends, meaning Swaim, Chigakonkwo, and then Austin Hooper. Chigakonkwo is just your blocking tight end basically. Every once in a while he catches a pass. But he's been throwing the ball 10 times, and he's caught 7 of them. Okay, that's a good catch rate percentage.
But if you look at Austin Hooper, he was throwing the ball twice against the Giants, caught one. And Buffalo game was bad. 5 targets, 1 catch. Like 2 for 2 against Vegas, 1 for 1 against the Colts, 1 for 1 against the Commanders, 3 for 3 against the Colts, 1 for 1 against Houston, 2 for 3 against the Chiefs,
you know what
and
5 for 7
me? Against
You know what that's telling
Denver.
Me? He's not getting open. He's not getting open. You are the number one tight end, supposedly.
Supposed to
in
but
air
he's
quotes,
not.
You are the number one tight end. You're making more money than probably both of the tight ends that play behind you together. You're making more money than them, okay? You've been in this league long enough. They brought you here to be the guy because they were sorely missing tight end play the year prior because of, you know, they've gotten rid of their tight ends for some reason. Whatever. It is what it is. You come in and people are wondering, like, man, okay, he went from Atlanta where he started to, you know, show some promise, doing well. Then he go to Cleveland and he get his spot taken and everybody's blaming Baker Mayfield. Oh, that's Baker's fault. It's Baker's fault. You see what happened to OBJ? It's Baker's fault. Listen, there are things that were Baker's fault. But then you can't blame the whole thing. Because look at the team still. Without Baker, they're still a bad team. It didn't have as much to do with Baker as what people are trying to make it seem like. So you
quarterback's
go,
an easy one to
yeah,
blame.
Quarterback's easy. You either praise them too much or you get down on them too much.
Yeah.
So you get your spot taken by a younger, more athletic, better tight end. So Cleveland says, we don't need you anymore. So here you are with the Titans. I don't know why people expected for him to come here and all of a sudden have a resurgence of a career. If you watched him in Cleveland, he's a okay tight end. That's just what he is. He's a okay tight end.
Which is a step up from Jeff Swaim and Anthony
Berkshire. He's a second tight end. He's the guy. He should be in Jeff Swain's place. He should be the Jeff Swain to this offense, and Chig should be him. Why? Because I've seen enough in Chig that this guy's a playmaker, and they need to get the ball to him more, okay? Let him prove that he's not first, because everything he's shown, he's proven that he is.
But I think the thing with Chig, and I hear that from Titans fans, I hear it, because when Chig can go out there, was that against the Chiefs game when he popped off that 40-yarder? I mean, people were saying, get the ball to Chig. I get it. I understand that. But I think Mike Vrabel and Todd Downing both have been very vocal about the fact that Chig needs to work on his blocking. Well, and that's the reason why he's not out there.
And that's the only reason he's not out there, because of his blocking.
But I hear Titans fans saying we want
Chig. Right now, we need playmakers. If his blocking can't be that bad that you're not playing him this much because he can't block.
Well, they say Jeff Swaim is the best blocking tight end on the team.
And he does.
Exactly. Jeff Swaim block.
It's like these are just excuses by the Titans from this point on. Now, maybe there could have been, you know, he just doesn't know the offense as well. And I can buy that. I'm good with that. Listen, by the eighth or ninth game, this kid should know the offense. And we shouldn't start putting him in and him making plays. I would rather have a guy that can make plays and has that potential and shows it on the field than a guy that's just going to catch a 5-yard hitch or a 5-yard out. He's not doing anything that's going to scare the defense. Nobody's scared of Austin Hooper. Let me repeat this again. Nobody's scared of Austin Hooper on defense.
There is one player offensively that defenses are scared of, and that is Derrick Henry.
No. They're scared of Chigakonkwo, but they know the Titans are not getting him involved. So it's like, yeah, we hope they don't get this guy involved, because this guy right here, he's a playmaker. He's a matchup problem for us. But they're not going to get him involved, so it is what it is. They're going to continue to go to Austin Hooper. We'll give you the 5 yards, Austin Hooper, and you'll make a catch every once in a while in traffic, and everybody, Jared, will say, oh, yeah, Austin Hooper's coming up. From where? The kid doesn't have a damn touchdown. And we're 9 games in. He doesn't have a touchdown. We're 9 games in. And you're our number one tight end. People are getting on the wide receivers. He's in the same boat with them, Hooper.
Yes. And I would say that just goes along with the offense as a whole.
Again, I'm not saying Hooper can't play in the NFL. But I'm saying he's not the guy for this team. He's just not. And I will be surprised if he's here next year.
I think that's a given.
No, it's not a given. I'm not saying Austin Hooper.
He signed to a 1-year deal.
I'm not saying Austin Hooper is not good enough to play in the NFL, because he is. He's a good player. But he's not good enough to be a starter on this team. This team needs playmakers. He's not their playmaker. He's a guy that catches the ball every once in a while. He can't get open half the time. It's like, dude, you can't get off press. We talked about the pass interference that they should have called, and they should have called it.
Yeah.
But he got no separation whatsoever. None. But we expect him to go out and catch 5 balls a game or 4 balls. If you can't get separation, I mean, if you're getting no sense of separation, I can't throw it to you. I just can't. So to me, as the season, now the second half of the season, Chigakonkwo will need to be more a part of this offense. Let us, because what the fans have seen from Chig is he make plays. Mm-hmm. When he touches the ball, he make plays. That's all we know. Let him prove to us he can't make plays, because up until this point, he's proven to us he can.
But I think my thing with Chig, though, is that in the very limited play, because we have not seen a lot of Chig.
Exactly.
We have not seen a lot of him. Isn't that by design? Because when we do see Chig out there, I think they're all illustrated in scripted plays for Chigakonkwo that they have practiced and they have gone through in practice. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is with Chig and their reluctancy to play him, but I believe that they view Chig as just not a refined product.
And I get that. Believe me, I get the whole he's not, you know, he doesn't have like that NFL savvy that he needs. Mm. And I get that part. But the kid has.
He has talent. He has talent. I understand that.
And he's proven that he has talent. Only thing, guys with talent in this league, like, if you got a guy that has real talent, that can play the position, you see it. And you, because Chig has that dog in him. That's one thing I believe he does. This kid has dog in him. Mm-hmm. If I look at him and Hooper, and I'm watching both of them play, I'm saying that kid has dog. I don't know if this other kid does in Hooper. I'm gonna call him a kid, and he's a grown man. This man right here, I don't know if he does, but I know this kid right here does. He has dog in him. Put him out there and allow him to play. The more you put him out here, because the NFL is all about confidence. That's what it is. When you have a guy that with the talent he has, he gained some confidence. Oh, this kid is off and running. NFL with good players, only thing they need is confidence. Once they get that confidence, they start running. You can look at all of these young receivers. I mean, from Chase to all of them. They struggle early on in practice or some more. They struggle.
Understandably so.
Yeah, once they get that confidence, they catch a few passes, they catch a big pass, touchdown. Now that confidence is going. They're like, feed me the ball. And it's growing and growing and growing until a point now they feel comfortable in the space that they're in. Give Chig that opportunity. Continue to allow his confidence to grow. Because when you're not getting him involved in the game, it's like he's freelancing. It's like, I'm out here. I know I got the talent, but y'all are not. It's like, what are y'all hiding him from?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your calls, your texts on that. But beyond Chig and beyond the tight end position, are the Titans ignoring playmakers and focusing on the wrong areas of the roster? And I think that D-Mace hit on just one tiny microcosm of it. We'll get into that coming up next. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.